Everybody, praise the Lord. I say that because every one of you here's got a father. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how come you showed up. Praise the Lord. God's perfect order. Isn't it good that God had a perfect order? It's just amazing that every one of you had a father. That's just amazing to me. Amen. That's exciting. Praise the Lord. I mean, dude, this Father's Day and Mother's Day thing, it's going to bring, you know, our society today brings a whole new great meaning. I can't wait for the day when they try to eliminate it. I mean, the greeting card companies loved it, right? They loved selling cards for all of these things. Is this thing doing something weird? It's kind of a lack. Dave, I don't know what it's doing. But God is good. And so he created the male and female. And then he kept producing them. He said, you know, be fruitful and multiply. Multiply what? Multiply what you already got. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible said everything has its seed in itself. You ever read that part? Everything has its seed in itself. It's set and created to reproduce. Once God starts the ball rolling, it keeps rolling. That's so exciting to me. Because he created something that's going to continue to manifest. He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. This is just free right now. I'm just kind of filled up. Hey, Connie, praise the Lord. Oh, it just because he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and that reproduces. Amen. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, I really don't know what that means, to be honest with you. But he just reproduces. He reproduces himself in the next believer. Amen. He's just reproducing himself. God is reproducing himself on the earth. That's his whole goal. That's his whole desire. And he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to transform and change the world. And you know what? That happens. You know what? He does that. You know, even if you're oblivious, you know, God will just move on the inside of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. You are filled with the living God and the living Holy Spirit. You just walk around looking for some place to just expose the Holy Spirit on. Amen? Say amen. See, that's powerful right there. If you just acknowledge that, just Jeremiah, you just receive that. You know, you don't have to perform when you walk out the door. You know, but we didn't put the sign out there on the back door that says this: you are entering the mission field. Well, it just kind of makes you stand up a little straighter, doesn't it? You know, straighten your tie. You know, you want to go out, and if you're entering the mission field. The fact is, you are the living Holy Spirit going out to demonstrate the love of God. But one thing you need is to know that you're loved by the eternal God. Mm-hmm. You need to know that what? And we're going to talk about that today. You need to know that he's your father. Yep. You need to know that he's your father. Amen. And he's a loving father. He's not the mad father. Right. Maybe he's not the father you had, but he's the loving father. Right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that starts out. That's good. Are you wet your whistle? Amen. God is good. Thank the Lord. Anybody got technology? Oh, thank the Lord. Anybody want to say hallelujah? Well, how come that guy's not prepared? He doesn't have his Bible open or anything. Yeah, what's wrong? Because he's singing and he's doing everything else. Praise the Lord. Larry's going to go. He's going to have to close the service too. Praise the Lord. All right. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. That was kind of amazing, actually, because Ephesians chapter 6 is what the next sermon for Ephesians was going to be. You know? That's so powerful. You know, it's kind of fun, just as an aside here. When I came in this morning and saw this, where's Monica? Is she here? No, she's not right. No, she's not right in here. I saw this prayer. Everybody needs to pick up a copy of this bulletin on the way out the door. Ed Schneider was one of our deacons for many, many years, and a powerful man of God. And he prayed for our offering. He was head usher here, back when the place was jam-packed. Couldn't get around. And he prayed this prayer every week for the offering. And it wasn't, when Ed prayed it, it wasn't rote, even though you could repeat every word of it when he was praying. He would pray that prayer. Luke, pick up that bulletin on the back. I want you to get that from him. See if you recognize it. See if you recognize that prayer. There you go. It's good when you have people here, you know, you can tell them what to do. Yeah, get that. And Larry felt led to just pray that. We usually do the Apostles' Creed, not because it's something that's that you need to do as a liturgy. You can do it as a liturgy if you're worshiping God with it, you know. I mean, you know, some folks, they begin to say it by rote, you know, and some people grew up in churches that did that. I did, you know, grew up in the Lutheran church. But the thing is, most all of those things that you do are you're reading, it's the Word of God. And if you'll meditate on that, you can get saved in one of those churches just by meditating on the, forget what the preacher says, you can meditate on that liturgy and you can get saved. Because it's the Word of God. Amen? I mean, in a Lutheran church, we'd at least once a month, we'd confess our sins. It'd be great, you know. I don't know that a lot of people do that in a lot of churches. They don't confess their sins. Lord, I confess that I'm a grievous sinner. I've sinned against you in many ways, not only by thought, word, and deed, but also in inward thoughts and desires that I do not fully understand or cannot accept, but which are all known unto thee. For these I heartily repent and am sorry for these. And more of it. But I got enough of it. So that's powerful. Because you learn how to confess your sin. You learn how to confess your sin before God because you know that He's a loving Father. Because He loves you. He absolutely loves you. Amen. How many know God loves you? Amen. God's not mad at you. He's not looking for you to improve. He figured you couldn't improve, so that's why He sent Jesus. He saw that nothing was working. The law was not working. Well, the law was never intended to work in that way. The law was just intended to expose sin so that you see a need for a Savior. A need for a Savior, all right? Ephesians chapter 6. Just a jumping off point, really, because we're not going to finish that right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You notice it talks to fathers? I mean, they've got mothers. We just talked about that. We've got fathers and we've got mothers. We've got Mother's Day and we've got Father's Day. But here it's saying fathers. We don't have a lot of fathers. Forgive me if I mess up a little bit today. We don't have a lot of fathers in the world today. We have guys who, you know, produce babies, but we don't have a lot of fathers. Thank God for these guys here. I know all these guys here. These are fathers. These are men who love God. These are men who love their children. These are men who will raise up their children. And if their children are raised, they speak into their lives, but not provoking them to wrath. But we speak into our children's lives and to bless them and to honor because we love them, because we want to see their children grow into men and women of God. So first of all, the apostle here says to children, like, you know, Eli and, you know, guys like this here, you know. It's, obey your, you know, the only one I can see in the room. Sorry, buddy. I mean, yeah. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This is righteousness. Dad's not always right. Right, Walter? Dad's not always right, David. You know, Dad's not always right. You know, I'm not always right. But I love my kids. And when I say things that are wrong and tell them to do things that are probably less than the sharpest thing to do, even if they do, if they follow through on that, because I'm not going to, you know, go to Luke chapter 11 knowing that you... know how to give good gifts to your children. Maybe not their, they might not be right on time, but you can know how to give good gifts to your children. Yeah, give them something wonderful. Well, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do at the moment. Maybe they weren't ready for that. Amen? Hallelujah. God created families. You know, family was the first government. Family was the first government, not church, not cities. Family was the first government that God created. Husband, wife, then children. That's the first government. And that is still the first government. The first government still is the family. It's still fathers, mothers, and then children. Growing into fathers and mothers and children. It doesn't change. It's the one government that does not change. God instituted it. He set it in place because that's what has kept the world going from the very foundation of the world. And it will keep the world going until Jesus comes, is this foundation of the family. So that's your priority. Amen? That's your priority. You got a job? Your family is your priority. Amen? And I know there's a lot of jobs that take a lot of time, but you can still prioritize. Even your job takes forever. It just eats up things. You ask God how to. He didn't say quit your job necessarily, But he is going to give you ways in which you can do family, even if you've got a job that's awful. They've had awful jobs for years, in the Old Testament, they had awful jobs. I'm sure they were building pyramids. And it was probably a 12-hour day. And that guy got home. Do you think he was tired? That guy was tired building. And then this preacher came along and messed it all up and said, And then the government got irritated and decided that everybody was going to have to do twice as much work. But God said, take care of your family. It never changed. No matter what is happening, your family is always the priority. Amen? And that priority comes from the heart of God. That priority comes from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus didn't obey his dad. He went out and ran down and did what he wanted to do there. And remember when he was teaching in the temple, I did what my father told me to do. He honored his father. He honored Joseph until the day that we obviously believe that Joseph passed away early in his life because he was no longer spoken of, but Mary was, there, continually. So, but God provides fathers and the fathers that we need. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let's look over at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew is written to the Jewish audience. The book of Matthew is written to the Jewish audience, by and large. Now, the other books are written to more predominantly other groups, primarily. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spends approximately 20 references to the Jewish people in his Sermon on the Mount, talking about the Father, and the relationship that the Father has to his children. So here I want to look into this a little bit. And I'm just going to read the individual verses, so it's not going to have total context, but of course the Sermon on the Mount, you know where it is, you can read it. All right, so looking at chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, the Jewish people at the time looked at God like, oh, God. Big, scary, God in the temple. Can't go in through the curtain. If you went in there behind that curtain, you would be dead. You have a holy God. You go into the temple. I mean, they had the temple. They had all the temple rituals. This is who God was. God was somebody you don't mess with. God was somebody you're scared. He's scary. The scripture also said that Moses talked with God as a friend. Abraham came to God. Or God came to Abraham and said, "Hey, Abraham, I got a deal you can't refuse. I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this." He does it 7 times. Here's what I will do. And of course, you know, we know what Abraham did. He fell asleep, you know. The best part of the show, and, you know, God's fixing to make covenant with man. And all of a sudden, Abraham just, you know, of course he is. He is probably 80. That's an inside joke for this church. He's like 80. And so he just falls asleep, right? Just falls asleep under the altar. And God cuts the covenant. Abraham had this much to do with it. He had zero to do with it. This is your Father in heaven. And this is the Father that God, that Jesus is talking about to the Jewish people. He is introducing the fact that this is Father. Your Father. Your Father. He's introducing that fact to these people. And he does it like over and over and over again in this Sermon on the Mount. So he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Verse 45 gets bigger in chapter 6. Verse 44 says, "I say to you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you." And it doesn't sound like God, does it? God would be the guy who destroy his enemies. "Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you." Sounds like heresy. "And persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Well, is that, see, here's a description of your Father, and here's a description of you. Amen. Look at verse 48. It says, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." We'll just give that up now. But how many know God's the one who does that and performs that? God puts perfection on the inside of you. Does it always show up? Not so much. But he's working on the inside of you, transforming you daily, transforming you from one degree of glory to the next. He says, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. That's how his word works on the inside of you. A little bit, here a little, there a little. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." That's what the Word of God is to you. That's what the Word of God does. It's a treat. Amen? We were on our little vacation. We had 2 weeks. Janet and I had 2 weeks. We were driving around the country. Got back yesterday. And Janet went out and mowed the lawn this morning. While I was doing studying for this, he says, and it's powerful. I mean, just, you know, it's just, this is family, isn't it? Amen? This is your family. And all of that to say, this is what God does on the inside of you. He changes you and turns you into his image, changes you into his image. The Word of God changes you. You put it on the inside, and it's like a little scrub brush. It transforms you from wicked to good. You're already good because His Spirit has already moved in on the inside of you. If you are born again, if you've received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by faith, He's transformed and changed you into His image from the inside. Now it's just working its way out. And the more Word you put on the inside, the faster it goes. Now, all of a sudden, you get hitches and, you know, things that just don't quite work all the time. But God still is working on the inside of you. Don't look at yourself in the mirror. Look at the Word of God. Don't look at your failure. Look at what God's doing on the inside of you. He's your Father. He is teaching you. He is raising you up into Him as His image. Raise up your children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Well, that's wishful thinking. No, that's a promise. That's a promise from the Word of God. Don't give up on that promise. Don't give up on that promise. Just because you haven't seen it, don't give up on that promise. 6:1, Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father, which is in heaven. The reason I'm pointing all these references out, he's continually breaking down that idea that God is a judge that is looking to destroy you, but rather that he is a father who was Abraham's God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had no law. They had no law on them. Moses brought the law, but God brought the law down from Sinai to create the nation. How many of the United States are a nation of laws? It's a nation of laws. And also has lots of people in it, and lots of people who are not people of faith. So if you have people who are not people of faith governed by the inside, governed by what God is on the inside, then you have to have an outward law to stop it. Amen? That's what the law was about. The law was not, the law, but at the same time, is a preacher. And it teaches and says, here's what God is like. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But then your Father is teaching you. Fathers, teach your children. When your children are grown, don't provoke your children to anger, but teach them. Have relationship. God told me, a few months ago, he says you have like 15 men in your family. You know, I got two sons. What are you talking about? Well, you have two sons-in-law, almost. Oh, did I? I hope I don't give anything away. We're thinking something might happen on that. You know, on the last one here. You know, we're pretty sure about these two here. You know, because they already got a, she's got a ring and he's. I mean, these two. These two we're real sure about. They've been doing this for 10 years. Almost 10 years. So, anyway. But all of that to say is that you feed into your children. You sow into your children. Larry's sowing into his sons. He's, you know, Jeff and David's sowing into his daughters. And, you know, every man here is sowing into his children because he's, you know, he's a man of God, and because he is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit to his children. That's what you are. You are a demonstration of God to your children. Amen? That's who you are. As dad, you are a demonstration of the living God to your children. He moves on the inside of you. He shows himself on the inside of you because he is God, and he desires to show his love and his mercy. And so you as a dad are showing love and mercy to your children. You are, we're thanking God for that. Because this is the church. This is what the church is. That's why, you know, the father's the husband and one wife and you know, is not a brawler, you know, not somebody who goes out and just causes all kinds of trouble. But he is a father. His first priority is his family, his wife and his children. All right, we said Matthew chapter 6. And let's see here. Verse 4, that your alms may be in secret. So you're giving your alms in secret. That your alms may be in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, himself shall reward you. So the Father's a rewarder. Over in Hebrews it said he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So fathers, diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Amen. Verse 6, Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, okay, here's your prayer time. Enter into your closet. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret shall reward you openly. I'm just struck by the number of times Jesus uses the word Father to drive this home, that God is not your angry judge over you trying to get you to do the law, but He is your Father. He is like your dad. And He is your dad to bless you and to love you and to care for you. And you are the dad to your kids to do the same thing. See, it's you know, when Jordan was starting out, you know, in this role, and when I was starting out in the role, when any of you were, just the idea that now all of a sudden you're not responsible for just me. I'm not responsible for just me. I'm responsible for me and her. You know, now guys who don't get it are still responsible for them. You know, Pastor Jim will tell you that story about himself. Is that, you know, his, you know, well, married, her, my responsibilities to me, her responsibilities to me. No. He figured out later, God said, no, that's you got that backwards. Is that your responsibility is her. Just like my responsibility is you. So God's responsibility is you. Your responsibility is your wife. And her responsibility is the children, right? No. Your responsibility is also your children. Well, what does she do? She does what I tell her. Well, that doesn't sound good at all. You know, God. So she does what God tells her. Well, you believe me. I want you to know you want your wife to do what God tells her. Then right, Walter. Because you'll mess it up. Amen. You don't even know what you need, you know. God knows what you need. Go read Ephesians chapter 5. Remember we read that a couple of months ago. We looked at Ephesians chapter 5. What God says about husbands and wives. Well, He says wives should submit. Well, yeah, but He's not talking to you. He's talking to her. You don't get to say that. God gets to say that. And then she gets to complain, you know, about, you know, well, what? He's a jerk, you know. That's okay, let me take care of that. But then he tells the husband, he says, puts the bigger responsibility on him. I don't want to say it's the bigger responsibility because that guy's a mess. But you got to have a big God. Amen? How many here have a big God? And how many else want to raise your hand? Say, I got a big God even though I didn't think I did. Amen. Yes, you do. You got a big God. He's bigger than what you think your difficulties are in your family. How many have a big God if you're a kid, young person, and you have a big God? You got to have a big God for your, you know, because you got faulty parents. Amen. Where's my grandkids? Yeah. Okay, they're in the back. Yeah, teach them this. Is they have faulty parents. Amen. How many are faulty parents? Praise the Lord. Yeah, me too. Yeah, both. And so God is working on the inside of us and transforming us and changing us so that God will turn our children into men and women of God just because we gave them the word. Our example was kind of pathetic at best. You know, we try to do, most of the time we try, sometimes we don't even try, because we just get irritated or get upset or get, you know, let the circumstances of the world get in the way. Right? Anybody ever done that? How many live in this world? Right? I'm looking at you. Come on, don't lie. Yeah. How many live in this world? Right? Yeah. I mean, you don't live on Mars. You don't live on the moon. You don't live by yourself somewhere. You're living in this world with a bunch of people. And those people can be a problem. Amen? You're one of them. That's part of the problem. All right? But you have a Father in heaven. You have a Father in heaven. All right. Verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them, the guys who pray out loud on the street corners. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. Your Father, listen, your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. Why didn't He do it? That was the question you were asking. Amen. Because He knows you and He loves you and He will put in your possession and in your hands and in front of you the things that you need because He loves you. He is your Father. He loves you. He knows exactly what's coming your way. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Can you trust Him? Yes. He is going to bring to you everything that you have need of. Because he knows what's coming. He's done that for me, and I've had a lot of times to, you know, how come you didn't do that? You know, or, you know, not knowing what was going on. So then after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, this is your praying to God the Father. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Wow, that sounds harsh. God is commanding you, forgive, forgive. I can't let go of yours until you let go of somebody else's. Let go of it. I mean, we like to preach it into a sweeter way, you know. You know, well, God, he kind of just doesn't like it when you don't do that. He says he won't forgive your trespasses if you don't forgive somebody else. And then, of course, he talks about, you know, when you're going to offer a gift. He says, leave it at the altar. If you've got something against your brother, or if your brother has saved somebody, somebody has something against you, go fix it. If he has something against you, go fix it. Make it right. Amen? Amen. Go make it right, and then come back and offer your gift. Yeah. You know, your Father is teaching you all kinds of things, isn't he? He's in your heart. He's in your heart, and he's teaching the things every day, every day, every day. Are these things you can perform and do? You've got a flesh; it still messes up. Amen. So, what do? Father, I just can't do that. I can't do it. Well, would you do it for me? Yeah, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you, and he'll change your heart. He just wants you to change your heart. He just wants you to allow him to change your heart. Father, I can't forgive that guy. Oh, good. So it's not up to you to do it. It's up to you to see that you can't. Huh? Yeah. It's up to you to see that you can't, and then you cry out to God and say, come and do it. Right. Yeah. Well, God, I just, for you, most people, they just, God said do something, and they can't do it, so they just well, skip God and skip the whole thing. No, you don't get the love of God. The love of God is that he is going to do it in you, through you, and for you because he's already paid the price in you, in Christ Jesus. He's already paid the price. So he's going to work on that on the inside of you and transform you. All of a sudden, you're forgiven. That guy you could never forgive, that girl you could never forgive, you're forgiving her because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Verse 18. Matthew 6:18. Okay, 17:18. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not to fast, but to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward thee. There's a reward to fasting. I don't necessarily know all what it is besides losing weight, but and being hungry. I mean, losing weight would be a benefit. Being hungry, I wouldn't think would be a... No, I don't think it's a great benefit. But he says, your Father will reward you. Oh, it's interesting. Well, what are you fasting for? Well, you don't have to be fasting for anything. Well, I'm fasting for this. You know, I'm fasting for that. You know, it's all, you know, just kind of like a... Kind of like that fleece thing, you know. Well, I'm going to fast for, you know, try to get God to... Try to move God. Try to make him do something for me. Now, God's doing everything for you. Father, thank you for doing everything for me. Thank you. Ooh. Thank you for doing everything for me. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he'll reward you. You know, if you fast, he'll reward you. I want to do that. I want to do that. It's like that little ad on the thing with the diabetic medication says. It says, and you might lose a little weight. Yeah. But that's not the big thing. The big thing is he's transforming and changing you into his image. Amen. Thank God. Verse 18, verse 26. It's always the verse before. Sorry. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Fathers. Wow. Fathers. Doesn't mean don't work. Doesn't mean don't make a plan. But don't take a thought. Don't receive stress. You know, a lot of fathers have a lot of stress on them. But you have to have a big God that you can unload to. That's why fathers drink or take drugs, because they don't have anybody to turn to. That's why it happens to a lot of pastors, because they don't have anybody to turn to. But your pastor, you should know God. A lot of them don't. A lot of them are just wanting to do good things for good people. They're born again, but they don't know how to unload to God. They don't know how to unload themselves. Women do that. I mean, don't know how to unload to God. It's just the responsibility is all yours. No. The responsibility is not yours. God gave you the responsibility to give to him. Verse Matthew 6:25, therefore I say, and listen up. When he says, therefore I say unto you, that's kind of a listen up. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're an old person, like me. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet on your body, with your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet they don't even have a 401k. Yet your Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? See, I've been thinking about that one. The Bible's full of good preaching stuff. And why take you thought? Here's another. You're busy taking thoughts. Because the devil will give you a bunch of thoughts. The enemy will give you a bunch of thoughts. Well, what about this? And what about that? And my gosh, Barbara, what about that? Why do you take your thought for all of these things? For your clothing. Consider the lilies, how they grow and toil not. Neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what? I didn't spend a lot of time on this. I mean, you know, most things are alone one verse. He's kind of spending a lot of time on this thing. Therefore, take no thought, says the same thing again, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Oh, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's not y'all. For your heavenly Father, here it is, knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Last couple of verses here is in chapter 7, verse 11. And if you being, okay, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? If you being evil, talking to the Jews on the hillside, when talking to you people, born again people. How many know you got wickedness still bound up in your flesh? It shows up from time to time. Amen. But God is manifesting his life through you and transforming you from one degree of glory into the other. Amen. Amen. You're not getting better. It's just the Holy Spirit is showing up more often. Amen? I mean, this body, at the end of the day, this body is not going to heaven. This body is going to decay. It's already doing it. You can see it right in front of you. It's decaying. It's falling apart. God's making it your joy to go to heaven one day, because what you're saying is you can spend a lot of money on this thing. You can spend a lot of money on this body trying to get it fixed up, and believe you me, for some folks it doesn't work as well as others. Talk about me. I'm not talking about brother so-and-so. All right. Verse 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who can do the will of God but somebody who has received the living Holy Spirit on the inside? Amen? Amen. He's changing you. He's making you in his image. Praise the Lord. You know, over in Proverbs chapter 20, I saw something come through this morning on a message. It says, the just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Of course, you know the Proverbs 31 woman, you know, her children sing her praises. Did you know that one was in there? The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. His children are blessed after him. Walk with God and your children are going to be blessed. Well, what if they're doing stupid? Walk with God and your children will be blessed. They'll follow you. They'll see because you're acknowledging and giving glory to God. Amen? Thank God that you have a Father in heaven. Thank God that you have a Father in heaven who loves you, and his desire is to transform and change you into his image and give you everything. He wants to bless you unbelievably. Amen. Did you know that? I want you to thank God for blessing you and your family. I want you to thank him for doing that. Past, present, and future. Well, I don't think he blessed me. No, he's blessed you. Because you have the wife you have. You have the husband you have. You have the children you have. He's already blessed you. Now he's blessing you in your walk today. He's blessing you today because you're hearing the Word of God and you decided to show up. Good idea. Praise the Lord. Amen. Could you have a better pastor? No, of course not. Amen. Heck, here you got a choice. You got 9 or 10. You know. You never know who's going to talk when you get here. But you should show up. Well, we only come for so-and-so. Well, that's silly. You'll miss out. Amen. You need to hear Danny. You need to hear Danny preaching. You need to hear Paul. You need to hear Larry. You need to hear... You know, anybody who's been called of God and set in place, Jeff, you need to show up and hear the Word of God. Amen?
Good word.
Praise the Lord. When Jordan's here, you need to preach. You need to preach here. He's man of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. Luke had words spoken over him. He hadn't stepped in it yet, but stepped into it, sorry. Stepped into it. And so you never know. You never know what may happen. Amen.
Amen.
God is so good. Amen. I want to just share with you a little bit quickly at the end here. I had Jim had 3 dads. I just had 2. And my dad was bound by alcohol for the first part of my life. And some of y'all met him. I mean, he lived with us for 5 years. And he... one day had a gun in his hand, of many, and when it was out on the front porch and making as if he was going to shoot himself, and just trying to scare my mom. I don't think he was going to do it, but I mean, he would be drunk nightly, and she'd have to go pick him up or bail him out of jail, you know. And people get afraid, you know. People get afraid of families. Of your family. You don't even know, you think you have the wherewithal to do what God called you to do. Yeah, he was raised in the church, raised in a Lutheran church, had the Word of God in him. Had like I talked about that, those liturgies, and had talked about that's the Word of God. You know, so the pastor doesn't mess up, you just give him something to read. You know, that's a good idea. You know, that's always a good idea. Some evangelical types would probably do good to just have something to read instead of interpreting the scriptures in some way. But he, we left that night, and my mom and dad, you know, got a divorce because she just felt like that it had just gone on too long to be able to be a blessing to me and my sister. So he married again to a nice little woman who thought he just needed somebody who understood him. About 9 months later, she figured out he needed more than that. That didn't work out. She had two little girls, about, you know, 5 and 2, you know. That didn't work out very well. He's dead now, so I'm not telling anything on him. He doesn't care. I believe he's in heaven. Amen. So, I mean, well, he's talking bad about his dad. No, I'm just telling you how God blessed me. Because he went through about 10 years of rehab and in and out, in and out. His best friend told him, his best friend was alcoholic, and he said, you need to leave town and never come back. Well, that's pretty good advice, isn't it? From your best friend. You need to leave town and never come back. So I pretty much did. So he ended up in Minnesota, and after about 10 years of rehabs in and out, he was in a hotel room with about 5 bottles of whiskey and said he's down to about 2, 1.5. He said the light came on. I guess he had a light in the room. No, he said a light came on. He meant on the inside of him. It said, and he said, all of a sudden the light came on. He said, I picked up the phone and called my friend, a friend, and said, come get me, I'm done. Went back to the rehab, to a new rehab, totally clean. He's 44 years old, totally clean. Went to school to become a drug and alcohol abuse counselor. Did that for 25 years. Then after 25 years, he decided I'm getting so old, I need to be able to help people who can admit their problems. So he went to credit consumer counseling after that. So at least those people knew they had a problem. So ultimately, he smoked for 70 years. And any of y'all smoked for 70 years? No? Good. Okay. And he was going blind. Just his health was failing. And he had a third wife who had passed away recently. She's a wonderful gal. Pastor Jim, in 92, preached a series on restoring relationships. It really had a transformation effect on some of us here. Lewis, you might remember it. And I don't know if the rest of these guys were here back in those days or old enough to remember it. Not that you're old, Lewis. But that started me. He said, yeah, God said you need to restore your relationship with your dad. So I began to go out, and he was in Florida. He was at a high-end clinic to the stars. Hazelden was a big name drug and alcohol abuse clinic. So we went over there and started just meeting with him. I called him up and said, hey, I want to come spend some time with you. And we began developing and cultivating that relationship, and then ultimately ended up when his wife passed away, we said, you know, we need to talk about this. You're blind. You can't see anything. All your props are gone. We need to find out how you're going to survive the next few years. Because he's in really pretty phenomenal in shape. Otherwise, he's pretty in phenomenal shape. He could sit on the floor. I remember he was with Shiloh, my first granddaughter, in the living room floor, cross-legged. We used to call it Indian style, right? You know, like you do in the classroom. And he was down there, and he could get up with no help at all. He's 82 years old, and just can kind of turn over and roll up. He said he told us he was a gymnast back at TCU years back in the day. I don't know if that carries on after 70 years. I have my doubts, but he was really He could fool you. We'd go out to eat. He's about 95% blind. He could make his way out of the restaurant, go smoke his cigarette, and make his way all the way back around. We're at the back of the restaurant. He'd make his way all the way back around to the table. And nobody ever knew he was blind. He wouldn't bump into things. He had just enough light in this one side, you know, to be able to do that. And he lived with us for 5 years. He came and sold his house, built an apartment on the back of our house, said we could have it after he's done. And we do. We have it. You know, people stay in it. It's amazing. And this is a long story, but indulge me. That last year, health was getting a little bit worse. He went into the hospital, and the doctor says, "Oh, well, we think you might have cancer." Well, he never had cancer. If he did have cancer, it wasn't much. And I said, "Okay." So we're sitting there in the room, and I said, "Dad, well, I know they just told you had cancer. Have you?" Because we'd have some discussions over the years about the Lord, but you know, really didn't have. It wasn't connection. And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus, and that you're going to be? I want you to be in heaven with us. I want you to spend eternity with us." And he said, "Well, I do know the scriptures. I was Lutheran, knew the scriptures, you know." And so we prayed that night there in the hospital. I can't say that we had a lot of real transition going forward, but I know that he prayed that he would receive Jesus Christ. And you don't know what's happening on the inside of people. So I believe I'm going to see him in heaven. He went to heaven in December of 2017. My mother and my stepdad died within 9 days of each other the following October. And that was unexpected. And my stepdad was an amazing man of God. He wasn't a preacher. He was not a preacher. But he loved. Some of you met him, Glenn Carr. He was Jim's best friend, by the way. When Jim came to the church in 1969, Peggy was about that big. She was Cara was about to be born. Jim would come to our house at like 9 o'clock at night and talk to, and just so maybe he comes to your house. He'll just knock on the door. He's not warning. He doesn't give you any warning. He just shows up. So he'd show up and he would sit there and talk as long as Glenn would talk to him. Then he'd get up and Glenn would get up and just go to bed. He'd just get up, leave the room, and never come back. And after a little while, you know, Jim was like, "Well, yeah, good night." You know, so just. But he was Glenn was just a blessing, just a great blessing. Lord Jordan and Luke can talk to you about how such a blessing that he was to them. Robin, I'm sorry, Audrey didn't get to meet him, but Luke will tell her. And so it's just, I'm blessed. I had two fathers besides my father, and my father gave me both my fathers. You know, and once in a while I would think, you know, wow, how come my family was messed up? How come I didn't get the fathers that some of my other friends had? You know, I had friends who talked about their father who was, you know, the awesome father who did everything, you know. Yeah, mine just didn't kind of work out, you know. How many know that God is going to work, he works out everything for your good? If you had a father that was a mess, I want you to forgive him. That's one thing we talked about a number of years ago. Is just to forgive your father. If your father was a mess, forgive your father. You know what? That'll change you. That'll set you free. Eli, forgive your father. He's a mess. Amen. Grant, forgive your father. He's a mess. I know him. I've known him a long time. Reed, Brenna. That's an amazing man of God right there. You kidding me? No, I'm just saying what God says. Because he's blessed you. Amen? Is he perfect? Absolutely not. I know that too. Walter's not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All kinds of craziness. You know? We're all a mess because of sin. Robin lost her daddy. And he had his issues. But he was a blessing to her. He was her father. First of all, he gave you life. God used that guy to give you life. And then you showed up and God had your husband or wife planned and prepared. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Her daddy's Connie's husband. She's blessed. Amen? It's powerful. See, Audrey had a good deal. She had one daddy, one... this just happens. I'm sorry, honey. It's not because you're on the front row either. You know that. Is that because she's got a mommy and daddy, mama and dad. Just one of each, you know. And she's blessed. But she's no more blessed than I am. What? I said, she's no more blessed than I am. Because it's God who does the blessing. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if that helped you or not. I just want to bless you with it.
Yeah.
You can take it home. You can take it home and put it under your pillow or something. All right. Well, I want you to go to the Father this morning and love your dad. Love your dad. Bless him. If he's gone, bless him. If he's still here, call him up. Bless him. Amen? Thank God. Tell him you thank God for him. Tell him you forgive him for everything. You know, a lot of time our fathers don't even know that you forgive them. I had to let my dad know that I forgave him. He said the last 5 years were the best years that he'd ever had in his life. Yeah, well, it's probably time to quit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh. Larry, do you have some stuff to say? I mean, you're going to finish whatever it is you're going to finish?
Well, I say this every Father's Day, I think. But it's important to forgive your dad.
Yes.
And God will let you know when it's time. It's not a, you know, he'll move on you when you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I was first coming up in the faith movement, you know, and got born again, and I was having difficulty with alcohol. You know, I would binge, just kind of like a binge alcoholic where I wouldn't drink, but then I'd go and binge again. And it was like a pattern. Even though I was going to a pretty good Holy Ghost church, and then I had all this Catholic guilt, you know, because I wasn't living, I was doing that. Well, one day, all of a sudden I got this wave of appreciation of my dad. Now, my dad had, his alcoholism had kind of broken up the family, right? And, well, thank God it wasn't until I went to college. You know, I had an intact family until then. I was away at college when it happened and they broke up and all that. He was a pretty bad alcoholic. And very similar to what I'm hearing you say about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a bunch of bitterness about it. And then one day, like I said, I had this great appreciation for my dad. And I didn't hear any teaching or anything on it. The Lord just came and gave me this heartfelt appreciation for how he raised us well. I never saw him drunk. You know, he was functioning alcohol. Didn't bring bad stuff into the house. Never cheated on my mom. You know, gave us, you know, he really provided for us, so we had a good life. I just had this great appreciation for him. And so I called him, and I called him. He was living in Milwaukee at the time. And I just said, Dad, you know, I really thank you for everything. You know, I really appreciate what you did for us. And I just came out of me. Well, I don't know if it was about 3 or 4 months later, Ed Cole came to our Maximize Manhood guy. He had a book called Maximize Manhood. Ed Cole, Edwin Lewis Cole.
He
talked about that. He said, unless you can forgive your fathers, then their sin is tied to you. And I thought about it. You know what? I haven't been lying since I talked to my dad months ago. Like I had been in the past almost every other week.
Amen.
And the Lord just showed me that forgiveness delivered me of...
Hallelujah. Yes.
Still had. So, we'll be listening for God when he talks to you about your dad. Because he's given you a special grace to do something.
Amen. Thank God. Father's Day. Amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, it's your Father in Heaven's Day. Like I said, I can't wait for the cancel culture to try to start canceling Mom and Dad. You know, cancel Mother's Day. We're going to cancel Mother's Day this year, next year. We're going to cancel Father's Day because we've got to have days for everybody. 365 days. God is good, isn't he? He's so good. Father, we just love you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness to us. Thank you for fathers. Thank you that the father, whatever father we had, Father, we thank you that you brought him to us and you used him in our lives. Father, whether to drive us to you or to lead us to you. And Father, we thank you right now because we have an opportunity. What are you going to do with your dad? Are you going to forgive him? Are you going to praise God for him? What are you going to do? You gave the fathers the responsibility. Some of them messed it up. But we forgive them. We forgive them. Thank you for giving us life through our fathers.
Amen.
Thank you for making us either a boy or a girl through our fathers. It's pretty important. Pretty important decision to make. So, Father, we just love you, love you, love you, love you. We give you praise. Thank you for teaching our children through us to honor their fathers and their mothers and to forgive them because they'll fail. But we pray that they will lead, each one of us here will lead our children and grandchildren to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have a Father who loved us enough to send His only Son to be crucified on a cross, so that we might have a life everlasting, that we could come and live in the apartment for eternity. He's making an apartment for me, just like my dad did. He's making an apartment, a place for me to live with him for eternity. And I'm going to live there. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Was?
Don't have it anymore? All right.